no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Our hour of old-time radio begins this week with High Adventure, their story from June 18, 1950, titled Sideshow. After that, it's Author's Playhouse and Light in the Darkness, a story that first aired May 19th, 1943.
I could risk a strike from the rattlesnake against my hip, but if I moved, the other one would get me in the neck. I lay tensed, my body covered with sweat. All I wanted to do was stay alive.
This is Sideshow, a carnival story of the one thrilling moment in a man's life that can only be called High Adventure. High Adventure, the top of the world in action drama for men. Presented by Scholten, makers of Old Spice aftershave lotion, for that top-of-the-world feeling after every shave. You know, speaking of carnivals, I'd like to sell tickets to the wild animal act that some men put on when they shave in the morning. The roar of a cage lion is nothing compared to the sound these men make about razor burn and sensitive skin. The reason this sad state of must be that they just don't know about Old Spice aftershave lotion. For you know as well as I do, that when you use Old Spice aftershave lotion, uncomfortable razor burn vanishes instantly, and your face feels cool and smooth. Old Spice lotion is healing to the skin, and it has a tingling freshness that makes you feel wide awake and ready for the day. No wonder that more men buy Old Spice than any other aftershave lotion at a dollar. Try it yourself tomorrow morning, and you'll use it every time you shave. And now to Sideshow, written and directed by Robert Monroe, a carnival story of high adventure, as told by the man who lived it, Jack Braden.
It took me a long time to find where Carrie's Greater Shows was playing. Billboard had no listing on them, and it was only through asking around in the trade that I finally got on the trail. I found the outfit near Branchville one night, and everything was in full swing along the Midway. The wheels were doing good business, and the parlays, or tent shows, were getting the usual play. But it was the ratty look about the whole outfit that got me. The tents had holes in them, the trucks were unpainted, and the shill games were so old they creaked. The local customers didn't seem to notice it, however, because maybe they didn't have any other place to go. I walked along looking for the headquarters truck, taking my time.
Hey, hey, knock him down and win a prize. Hey, you ball pitchers, knock off the bottles and take your prize. Come on, come on, come on.
Excuse me.
Just 2 bits, 1 quarter, knock them off and take home a prize. How about it, mister? Only a quarter?
No, thanks.
Hey, 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 knock off the bottles and win your prize. 3 balls for a quarter. Show the little lady how you do it, eh?
Hey, can you tell
me? If you don't want to play, stand aside, mister. Hey, knock him down.
I want to find Daisy Carey.
1 quarter gets you 3 balls. Hey, hey, hey. You want Daisy?
Yeah.
Red truck behind the snake tent.
Thanks.
Should have told me you wanted Daisy.
I did.
Win your girl a big prize, fella. Come on in here. Win. Hey, wait a minute, you.
Yeah?
What do you want to see Daisy for?
That's my business.
Maybe it's mine, too. Gina!
Thanks for the information.
You stand still. Hey, Gina!
It's all right. I'm not going to go.
Gina can show you.
I can find it.
What is it, Gus?
Yuck wants to see the queen.
Well?
You better take him. He don't give the answers.
I gotta go on in a minute.
Will you take him? You know what she said about
it. All right. Come on, you.
Hey, hey, hey! Knock him down and win a prize. 3 balls for a quarter. It's easy. It's fun.
You don't have to. I can find her.
I got time, I guess.
The fella told me that...
Over this way.
Sure. You with the show?
Yeah, I'm with it.
That's some outfit you have, huh?
Go on, stare all you want.
What are you, Salome?
Has she got a snake act, too?
Snake act? No, she's...
Then why'd you ask if I was her?
Well, you look like she might look.
What sense does that make?
None, I guess.
Back through here.
So you have a snake act?
Yeah, I do.
I'd like to see it.
Go in this tent right here in an hour. You'll see all you want, and it'll cost you a quarter.
I'll do that.
It's your quarter.
Gina, the Egyptian snake woman.
You can read signs, too.
I learned at an early age.
Yeah, I bet you did.
You don't look Egyptian.
Do I have to?
No.
All right, then.
What are you so angry about?
I'm not.
All right, you're not.
This is far enough.
Is this where...
You there, Bull?
Yeah, right here.
Who's this?
Trevor.
He wants to see Daisy.
No, he does.
Take care of him. I gotta go on soon.
Oh, wait a minute.
I'll take care of him. He's fine.
Yours.
Look, I only want to go...
Are you on your way? We don't want no trouble.
I don't want any trouble either. I just want to see Daisy Carey.
What for?
Doesn't concern you.
Maybe it does.
It doesn't.
You got papers for her?
Papers?
Now, you don't look like a yokel. No papers, huh?
Sorry? No.
Okay.
Now, do I see her?
Not that fast.
Look, I don't want to do anything but see her.
It's what you said. Now, tell me why.
It's a personal matter.
Personal?
That's right.
What kind of personal?
Now, listen, I told you I want to see Miss Carey, and I'm going to. If you want to get rough about it, well, I can get a little rough, too. So are you going to show me where she is, or do I make you?
You think you can?
I know I can.
All right, if you're going to take it that way.
I am.
Just knock on the door of the truck.
Thanks.
I'll be right outside.
That's your privilege.
Dilbo?
No, it isn't.
What do you want?
I want to talk with you.
Oh, wait till I turn on the light. Never find a fool thing when I want it.
You're Daisy Carey?
Well, that's what they call me. Well, that's better. I'd like to see who I'm... Oh.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Took me a long time to find you.
What do you want me for?
I don't know until I talk with you.
Well, go ahead, talk.
May I sit down?
Sure. Sit down if you can find a place.
Thanks.
You, Carney?
What?
No, you're not. Too well-dressed, too good-looking.
If you mean, am I in show business? No, I'm not.
I said you didn't look like it. I can always tell.
Miss Carey, I'm trying to find some information.
It's cheap to give. And nobody calls me Miss Carey. It's Daisy.
All right. Miss Carey... Daisy, can you remember your itinerary from season to season?
My what?
Where you've been.
Oh, sure I can.
Fine. Then you can remember where you were playing 3 years ago.
Sure. 3 years ago? Yeah, I can remember that far back.
Summer 1947?
Sure. We were on one-weekers in the Midwest. We started in Weberville, then worked up through...
Up through Powell.
Yeah, that's it. Through Powell.
And I have the right outfit. It's a relief. You don't know how many wrong leads I followed.
There might have been another Carney through Paul.
No, if you came up through Weberville, then you're the one.
Don't even remember the place.
I'm not surprised. It's not much to remember.
Things look alike, even people.
I suppose they do if you see too many places.
So what about this town called Powell?
Well, I live in Powell, and...
Now, wait a minute, kid. If you want your money back from the wheels, you should have thought of that before. 3 years is a long time to wait before you yell. Besides, we're in another state. Nobody forces you to play the games in the first place.
Easy, Miss Carey. I don't have any complaints.
And I chase any lifter I find taking rolls off the customers, so I tell you...
I said I don't have any complaints.
Then why do you want to see me?
I better start at the beginning.
It would help.
Well, I was overseas in the Army for 3 years, and I used to get letters from Dad about once a month.
Oh, must have been a good letter writer.
I suppose so. Anyway, in 1947, he stopped writing. I didn't get any July letter.
Have a fight?
No, he just stopped writing.
Well...
I wrote to him, but my letters came back. Finally, I wrote to friends in Powell, and they said he disappeared the first week in July.
What about your mother?
It was only Dad and me.
So your old man disappeared 3 years ago. What's that to me and my show?
Well, folks said he was gone right after your carnival left town on 4th of July weekend.
Go on.
I thought because he...
Listen, kid, just because we run show games and wheels, we're not kidnappers and criminals. Now, you better get out
now,
of
wait
here
a minute,
fast
wait
before
a minute.
I...
Let me finish.
All right.
I was about to say that Dad was always fond of carnivals for some reason, so I know he came out to yours.
Well, a lot of people came, probably the whole town.
Yeah, I know, but Dad was just crazy enough to join up with you if he had the chance. I'd grown up, and he may have thought he could have done what he wanted the rest of his life.
3 years ago.
I thought if I found your outfit, you could tell me if he went away with you, where he went after that.
It's a long time.
I would have come quicker, but the Army wouldn't let me.
Well... No one joined up with us that I remember.
I have a picture of him. Here, see, maybe you'll remember the face.
Let me see.
Well?
Looks like you.
He was a grand guy.
You talk like he's dead.
I'm afraid he is, or he'd have written to me.
You want to be sure?
I guess that's it. You ever seen him?
What was his name?
Brandon. John Brandon.
Never seen him.
Oh. That's that. Thanks for the trouble.
No trouble.
Mind if I look around the show?
Help yourself. Your money's as good as the next one.
Maybe you should use some of it on your bill collectors.
What do you mean?
Your friends on the lot must have thought I was a process server the way they looked me over.
Yeah, they're that way.
Well, see you again.
Maybe sometime.
That got him.
Yeah, out cold.
All right, what do we do with him?
Get him off the lot. Sheriff will find him in the morning.
We'd be gone, huh?
Yeah, that'll... Hey, wait a minute. Somebody's coming.
Roll him under the tent.
Sure.
I'd been hit on the head with a sap and hit hard, but I wasn't completely out. It was like being paralyzed. Then hands were pushing and rolling me, and wood cracked and splintered under me. It was quiet except for the crowd somewhere in the distance. I couldn't move, and I lay there listening, and out of the near quiet came another sound. It was a strange noise, and I'd heard it before, but I couldn't remember where. It was close by, close enough for me to touch if I could move my hand. And the white before my eyes started to dull and slid into blackness, and I began to see tiny rays of light in the dark. I was beginning to see again. The light rays came from holes in the canvas wall opposite me. I looked down toward my hands, and I saw what was making the noise. In a patch of light was a rope-like shape, neatly coiled with one end flattened and raised over the coil. Rattlesnake. I could see another next to my hip. I could feel something moving in my hair. I tried to move and found my arms were working again, but moving now was no good. The rattles would strike if I tried to get away. I was caught. I could risk a bite on my arm or leg, but if the one in my hair got me in the neck, I wouldn't have a chance. Just lie quiet and wait. That was all I could do. Wait until someone came in the tent and saw what had happened. I could feel the sweat coming out of my body and wondered if rattlesnakes ever slept. One arm was cramped under me, and I began to feel the pain in it. I was going to have to move it. Then there was a light in my face and someone behind the light.
What are you doing in here?
Watch. Snakes.
Oh, look what you've done.
Snakes.
Lie still. I'll take care of them. Oh, look at their cage. You broke it all to pieces.
Get them away.
I am. Gotta have something to put them in.
Hurry.
The trunk will do. One, two.
You're picking them up with your hands.
Why not?
They're rattlesnakes.
What'd you think they were?
You better be careful.
This one off your head.
Watch it, he's mad.
Four. Get up now, that's all of them.
You're a brave kid.
Am I?
I couldn't handle rattlesnakes that easy.
Don't do it every day.
Oh. Oh, sure. Gina, the snake woman.
Besides, all these had their poison sacs removed. If they bite, it's like being stuck with a needle.
Why didn't you tell me?
I thought you knew. Now, you tell me what you were doing in here and why you broke my snake cage.
I didn't want to be here.
Serves you right if you were scared.
I was.
Well?
Come on, let's get out of here. I'll buy you some cotton candy.
I'll go, but not for that reason.
Funny feeling, all those snakes around me, hundreds of people outside, and I couldn't call for help.
Why not?
Somebody hit me one over the head and rolled me in the tent. Here, feel the bump if you don't believe me.
I believe you.
That's how your snake cage got broken.
Oh. See the queen?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw her.
You get what you wanted?
No.
Sometimes you never do.
Well, I had a try anyway.
Been here before?
In the dark. Only a dime, that's all.
No.
Only a dime, you two.
Let's go in there.
Crazy house?
Come on.
I got enough thrills in the dark.
Won't cost you anything.
All right, what do you want?
Come on.
Going on all the time. Just put down your dime and walk right in.
Okay, Bull?
Sure, go on, Gene.
Thanks.
I thought your name was Gina.
You think I'd really have a name like Gina?
I guess not, come to think of it. I like Jean better. I'm Jack Brayden.
Yeah.
I'd still like to know why I got hit in the head.
The roll in your pocket?
My money? Yeah, it's here.
Huh.
Hey, it's dark.
Yeah.
Floor's moving.
Walk to one side and you'll miss it.
Huh? Oh, yeah, I see.
You there, Jack?
Yeah, but I don't see why you wanted me to come into a place like... Jean, I never want... Why did... Jean, wait! Crazy thing. Jean!
Hey, what's going on in there?
You see Jean?
Sure, I seen her. She come running out like the place was falling apart.
Where'd she go?
Back to her tent. Listen, Yank, leave that kid alone.
Sure.
Hey, you, come back here. Come on back. Hey.
Dangerous search for a forgotten man and romance in the dark against a background of mystery. Danger, romance, mystery. They are no strangers here, for these are the keynotes of high adventure. Now that a touch of romance has been added to our story, here's a chance to remind you that there's nothing like romance to add spice to a man's life. I mean Old Spice after shave lotion, of course. For when romance comes into the picture, every man wants to be extra sure of his good grooming. But we all know that there's never a time in a man's life when careful attention to good grooming won't pay off in business or in social life. That's why it's so important to make a habit of using Old Spice aftershave lotion every time you shave. Once you've tried Old Spice lotion, its clean, masculine scent and bracing freshness will become a part of your daily grooming you'll never want to miss. And Old Spice aftershave lotion gives you wonderful value for your money. There are two generous sizes of this quality lotion, $1 and $1.75. Look for the handsome red Old Spice cartons at drug and department stores everywhere. And remember, men who appreciate real quality, men who know the value of good grooming, say, for that top-of-the-world feeling, I use Old Spice lotion after every shave. And now, back to Sideshow. A carnival high adventure story of a man whose search for the past brought terror into the present, as told by the man who lived it, Jack Braden.
I pushed through the crowd along the midway looking for the girl, Jean. I could still feel the force of the kiss she pressed on my lip in the dark of the crazy house, and I had to know the answer behind it, if there was an answer. When I got to the tent where she worked, another act was being given, and they told me she'd be back in an hour, so I went out in the crowd looking for her and to kill the hour. As I walked along, one show looked the same as the next. Common ape-man show was no different. Even the lion roar was there.
Step up and see the one and only monkey man of Borneo, ladies and gentlemen. The man whose mysterious body processes have defied the greatest of our scientists. His skin is green, yes, green, friends. An actual orange fur. Yes, that's right, lady, I said fur. It grows on his chest. Now, you don't have to believe me, ladies and gentlemen. Just step right up, put down your quarter, and see for yourself. And if the famous monkey man is not all I've told you he is, then he can come right back out here.
I paid the quarter and went in because I had time before I could see Jean again. As I went in the tent, I glanced behind the flap in the tent where the roaring came from. And as I expected, a man was sitting on a stool pulling a cord attached to a hide-covered keg. It was a good roar, and it stopped when the people came, so they never wondered about the come-on. The ape-man came in the roped-off area and was green-screened as advertised. He had orange hair on his chest, only the hair in his skinned eye was wearing thin in spots. He grunted and yelled at the crowd, made faces, and tugged at the belt holding up his shorts. The belt. The buckle. The light wasn't working. I couldn't be sure. But I had to be sure. I could never leave and go home. Before the show was over, I slipped out and went back behind the tent and waited for the monkey man to come out. Then the tent flap moved and he was in front of me. I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
What a nice act.
What a drink.
Notice that belt you're wearing.
Belt?
Yeah, it's a nice one.
Good belt.
Move in the light. I want to see it.
Yeah, the light's hurting my eyes.
It's better.
Get a drink.
Yeah.
Want me to bite myself? Well, I won't do it.
Where'd you get this?
I don't bite and throw up.
Where'd you get this belt?
Belt?
The belt.
What a drink.
Look, mister, I gotta know.
Drink?
I'll get you a drink.
Got it hit. Right over here.
Where?
Right over here. Hey, you see? You see?
Better?
Yeah, fine. Well, by myself, make it a good show they want.
What about the belt? Where'd you get it?
Good belt. Nice buckle. Silver.
Yeah, I know. Did you buy it?
Buy it?
Yeah.
I don't want to buy anything. Just get my drink.
Steal it from somebody?
Huh?
Did you steal it?
Steal. Never steal. Another drink, yeah.
Is
No more.
Look, mister, can't you tell me anything about the belt?
Belt? What belt?
The one you're wearing.
Oh, belt, sure, belt.
Where'd it come from?
I don't know.
You haven't any idea?
Idea? No, the belt was in the pants when I put them on.
What's that?
Well, nothing about no belt. Put on the pants, the belt was in them, that's all. Belt was in them.
Where'd the pants come from?
Where did the pants come from? I don't know. They give me them to wear.
Who gave them to you?
Bull, yeah, Bull did.
And the belt came with the pants?
Yeah, sure come with the pants. I'll give it to you, all yours. It's all yours. Take the belt.
Thanks, mister. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for the old belt. What's it all about? Just all your pants up. A mucky man don't need pants in the jungle. Fight and bite yourself, that's all. Fight and bite.
All right, bud, that's far enough.
Oh, you.
I follow you from back of the gook tent.
So?
What's the pitch?
Nothing.
Trying to promote my gook away from me?
No, of course not.
What was you talking to him about?
You boys around here are too curious.
Yeah, maybe it's you, bud.
I'm curious, all right.
What do you got there?
Something that belongs to me.
Yeah? That's a gook's belt.
It was.
What'd you do, give him a drink for it?
He gave it to me.
Oh, he did, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, where you going?
You have to know?
Yeah, I work here.
I'm going to talk with Daisy Carey.
Did you see the queen yet?
Yeah, but I'm going to see her again.
That's her truck over there.
I know.
Gus!
Yeah?
Something wrong?
Nah, this young kid.
You again.
Sorry, I was in a hurry.
I know why. You leave that kid alone.
You better make her leave me alone.
You heard me. What are you doing over on this side, Gus?
Well, I followed this young from the gook tent.
What?
Yeah, I figured he was trying to promote...
Come talk with the gook.
Didn't know he'd been walking away with the belt, and then I figured...
Belt? What belt?
This one, Bull.
I see.
Unusual one. Especially the buckle.
Stealing a poor gook's belt,
It was never his to wear.
No?
He got it from you with the pants, didn't he?
What about it?
A lot about it. Now, you tell me where you got it.
What's the idea?
Where'd you get it?
From the prop trunk. Where else?
How'd it get there?
Look... You hand me that belt. Get off the lot. Before...
It's my belt, mister, and I'm going to keep it. If my father left it, it's mine.
I thought you'd get on it if you poked around. All right, Gus.
Sure, Bull.
No, you... Hey, Leon! You taught me that one. Now you, Gus.
Hey, Rube! Huh? Hey, Rube!
What?
Hey, Rube! Hey, Rube!
What? Oh, Gene.
They after you?
Yeah.
What'd you do, break up a game?
No, listen, I've got to get to Daisy Carey.
Go see her.
Sure, with every guy on the lot looking for me.
Well?
They'll be watching a truck.
They know you're trying to get there.
I got to see her.
I thought you did.
This time it's different.
Oh.
Do you answer that riot call?
I'm Carney.
That means you do.
I didn't say so.
I'll come back later to ask you something else.
What?
I haven't got time.
Ask me now.
I got to pay you back. I owe you this.
Go out the back of the tent. I'll call him out front and you'll get away.
I'll be back.
I know you will.
Don't touch that door, Yunk. I thought you'd show here.
All right, let's have it out.
Nothing to have out, kid. You tried to rob the queen of the night's take, so you got shot.
I see.
That's all there is to it.
Easier to do the second time, isn't it?
Huh?
You knock off the father, now the son.
I knew you was his kid the first time I seen you.
Why'd you kill him?
Now get back. I'm not taking any chances with you this time.
Think you need a gun?
It's handy.
I still want to know, why'd you kill my father?
He killed himself.
You'd never make that stick.
I knew you'd make trouble as soon as you showed.
You made a mistake keeping this belt.
I don't make any mistakes.
You just did. You ought to watch that belt.
You're breaking my arm.
I'm gonna break a lot more than that.
I'm gonna take care of you.
Go on. You got me by 20 pounds.
Step breaking it.
Drop the gun.
Okay.
Now I'll show you how to really work over a guy like to kill, huh? Well, how about...
Stop it. Stop it. Come in here. Let go of him.
Oh, no.
I worked a crack shot at once. I can place all six shots back of your ear. Now break it up and come in here.
All right.
Bull, you slow up the mob. You don't want to ruin the rest of the night for business.
How about the Yunk?
I can take care of him. Get going.
Yeah, all right.
Don't bother with this Jack anymore. Let him walk off.
Come on up in the truck, kid. Sit down.
Thanks.
For 3 years, I haven't been out of this truck, but I know what goes on my lot.
You said you hadn't seen my father.
I know.
Why did Bull kill him?
He didn't.
Oh, yes, he did. I found this belt, and it was Dad's.
I remember it.
Police will take care of him.
No, Jack.
Why'd he do it? Dad didn't have much money.
I told you, Bull didn't do it.
Sure he did.
No, kid. I killed him.
What?
When you showed, I even thought about killing you, too. But then I heard about what happened in the funhouse.
Jean?
Yeah, she told me. She's been waiting for a guy like you.
I don't get it.
I thought I still hated hard enough to get his son, too. But I guess it's finally all burned out. Yeah. I guess it has.
You killed Dad, a stranger who'd never...
He wasn't no stranger to me. He was carny, just like the rest of us. You knew that.
No. He used to talk about shows, and he liked them.
Yeah, he was carny. Him and me. He'd shoot cigarettes out of my mouth. Never missed. Only once. See this scar on my arm?
Dad never had a gun in the house.
No, he wouldn't. He was strong. When that girl wanted him to quit and settle down, he married her and walked out. Just like that. Walked out on me, too. I could have killed him.
You knew my mother, too?
Yeah, I knew her.
She died of pneumonia when I was a baby.
You could have been my kid if John had listened to me. I would have married him.
Did you kill him?
Yeah. He walked out on me. But I waited. I knew someday he'd come to the show, so I waited. I never forgot him walking out on me.
And look what it got you.
What?
Look what it got you. Nothing. You haven't a thing but a pile of ashes in your mind. Goodbye, Daisy.
You going somewhere?
What? Yeah.
Oh.
Oh? Now I know.
You want to tell me?
No.
All right.
But I want to ask you something.
Go on.
Why did you kiss me back there in the dark?
I wanted to. Isn't that a good reason?
Yeah, that's good enough.
You have to do one more act tonight.
You're not carny anymore. You don't have to live or die with the show.
I guess not.
Other kinds of people stick together, too.
Do they?
You need a reason?
Yes, Jack.
Because they want to.
That's good enough.
Come on, I'll show you.
Where?
To the big top. Not a sideshow. On a farm near Powell. You'll like it, Gene. Dad was carny once and he loved it. It's got big trees for tent poles, the whole sky with stars in it for its spread and top lights, and the whole world is your midway.
Sideshow, a story of the one thrilling moment in a man's life that can only be called high adventure. And next week, High Adventure is proud to present The Hungry Peacock, a strange story of a man and a woman who tried to take $1 million from a friend, but said friend wanted their lives in exchange. And starring will be two famous personalities of stage and screen, Basil Rathbun and Anna Lee. So until next week, when you can again hear High Adventure, as part of the new hour and a half mystery and adventure on NBC at this time, this is George Hogan saying, wherever you are, those around you live it, and perhaps you yourself will someday meet it. We call it High Adventure. Now, here's special news, introducing new Schulten shampoo in the unbreakable plastic bottle. New Schulten shampoo has an up-to-the-minute formula which leaves hair wonderfully clean, dandruff-free, easy to manage. And ladies, new Schulten shampoo actually gives your hair beautiful additional luster. And here's a real shampoo first. Schulten shampoo leaves hair pleasantly scented with Old Spice. New Schulten shampoo in the unbreakable bottle bears the good housekeeping guarantee seal at drug department and cosmetic stores everywhere.
Stay tuned for the third big mystery, The Big Guy, on NBC.
Authors Playhouse.
No. No. I keep telling you. I killed John Harrington.
A man with murder on his conscience waits until the 11th hour to unburden his soul. He waits until it's almost time for another man to walk that long last mile that leads to the death chamber before he bursts into the district attorney's presence with a strange story calculated to disturb conclusions that up to now seemed inescapable. Such is the situation Author's Playhouse presents in Thomas Walsh's analytical detective story, Light in Darkness.
You're the man who phoned?
Yes, sir. And you're Mr. Woolrich, the district attorney?
That's right. Come in.
I'm sorry to bother you, sir, but it's about Louis Marion, about the murder.
Oh? Well, you're coming here as usual. There's nothing I can do. Only the governor can help him now. He'll be executed in just 3 hours.
Yes, I know.
You're a relative?
No. I came to tell you, Louis Marion is innocent.
Louis Marion was tried and convicted for the murder of John Harrington. He gets the electric chair at midnight tonight. The case is closed.
No. I murdered John Harrington.
Do you know what you're saying?
Yes, sir. I killed John Harrington.
I see. Well, won't you sit down? Talk to me?
Thank you.
Now, what's this all about? Who are you?
My name is Walter Robinson. I'm the assistant cashier at the Third National.
Well, but you're cranked. The last minute attempt.
No, sir. This is all true. And sooner.
Well, why didn't you?
But my conscience, it just started bothering me today. Tonight.
Oh?
Please let me tell you about everything.
All right.
2 years ago, I got in a jam. Someone I knew gave me a tip on the market. It looked good. But I lost every cent I had. Then one of my kids took sick, and I had to have money. I was in a spot. And I figured I needed $1,000.
A thousand?
I thought I'd borrow more than I needed and play the market again, try to get back my losses.
I see.
I had no collateral. So I went to the only man who might let me have it. John Harrington.
You knew he was a loan shark?
I was desperate, Mr. Woolrich. I told him if he gave me the money, I'd pay him $25 a week until it was all returned. And I signed a paper that I thought said that. I paid the doctor bills and... Well, I lost the rest. And every week, I paid him $25. For a year and a half, till I'd paid him almost $2,000.
Mm.
I thought that was enough. But he said it wasn't. He said the $25 was just the weekly interest rate that I'd agreed to pay. He said I still owed the principal. And if I didn't keep on paying, he'd tell the bank.
Yes, that's typical of those loan sharks.
I know if the bank found out, I'd be fired. And I couldn't pay more than $25 a week. I didn't have it. So I planned to steal that paper I'd signed so Harrington wouldn't have any proof. A couple of nights later, I went out to his house on Appleton Road. I took a gun with me, 38. But I didn't mean to hurt him. I thought I could scare him.
Just a minute. You'd remember the night?
Well,
not the date, the weather.
Oh, yes. It was raining when I got off the bus at Appleton Road. A bad thunderstorm. Oh, the streetlights were off.
Streetlights were off?
Yes, sir. The storm must have blown down a power line or something.
I see. Well, go on.
It was just midnight. The road was quiet and deserted. The house was all dark. I went across the lawn, found a cellar window that was barely open, and climbed inside. It was pitch dark. But I got upstairs into his office, where he kept his papers and records.
And?
I broke the lock off the filing cabinet with a chisel I brought with me. I had a flashlight, but it took me a couple of minutes to find the paper I'd signed and the notes, things with my name on them. Just as I had them in my pocket, the lights went on in the room. He knew I was there.
And then?
I looked up, saw him sitting behind his desk with a gun in his hand. And I fired at him before he could fire at me, before he could even say anything, before I meant to. I must have pulled the trigger just as soon as the light went on. He fell across the desk on his face. And that's all.
And the lock was broken on his file. That's true. We never did find out why Louis Marion. I don't know whether you're telling the truth or not, Robinson, but you know a lot about this case that you shouldn't know.
Oh, but it is true. Every word of it, sir. It's true.
Well, we can find out if this is a trick or not. There are ways of checking. And this might bear looking into.
Yes, sir.
I'll have Bill Powell come over here. He's a smart young detective who handled the case. You can tell him your story. We'll see what he thinks.
I'll do anything you say, sir.
Just tell the truth. That's enough, Robinson. You'll have to satisfy us this isn't a trick or a scheme to get... Hello? Is Powell there? Oh, hello, Bill. This is Woolrich. Look, Bill, hop in the car and come out to my place right away. Something hot's just come up on that Harrington case.
And just as soon as the lights went on, I pulled the trigger. Harrington was kind of slumped to the right side of his chair, and he fell over with his face across the desk. I was scared then. I got out of there as fast as I could and took a bus back to town.
Well, Bill, what do you think about it?
Might be worth checking.
I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Robinson?
Yes, Mr. Powell?
Tell me one thing more. How was Harrington dressed? What did he have on?
A bathrobe. Dark one, maybe red or brown. Inside he had on a dress shirt, but no tie.
That fits perfectly well.
Yeah, that's just it. You see the spot this puts me in?
Sure, but...
Well, say this is a put-up job. Say Robinson here is a friend of Louis Marion's, and I stop the execution. That's a misstep. I'll be washed up. Why, the papers will never stop kidding me about it.
Yeah, that's right.
But if it's true, if it's really true...
Oh, but it is true. Every word, please believe me, Mr. Wilson.
Then why in thunder did you wait till tonight, the last night, to tell us with only 3 hours left?
Yeah, how about that, Robinson?
Well, I waited because I thought this Louis Marion would be released or reprieved. I knew he was innocent, and I thought all along that they'd acquit him. When they gave him the chair, I thought the governor would commute his sentence. And besides, I had a wife and two kids to look out for. Oh, this Louis Marion was just a gangster. I figured he had it coming to him anyway for other people he killed. So I thought I'd let him take it.
That's what you thought all along?
Right up until this week. Yes, I meant to let him learn. And then my conscience started bothering me. Deep down inside me, voices talking, getting on my nerves. I couldn't stand it any longer, so I came here.
Well, Bill, you worked on the case. Now you've heard this guy's story. So you ought to know...
Maybe I ought to, but I don't. If you ask me whether this man's lying, I'd say no. This doesn't look like an 11th hour stall to me. I'd say this man was telling the truth. But the funny part of the whole thing is, I still think Louis Marion did the job.
So Robinson's right and Robinson's wrong. That's your answer?
I'm a cop, D.A. I ain't a magician. I can't make up your mind who's right or who's wrong. But I've got an idea.
What is it?
I suggest we drive up to Appleton Road and have Robinson show us what he did. If the story's phony, that's the place to spot it, right where it happened.
I'll be glad to help you. I'll do anything.
Nothing's been changed out there. The place has been closed up pattering a drum ever since the murder. If you don't think it's too screwy...
Nothing's too screwy in a spot like this. Let's go.
And this is the cellar window where I crawled in?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a man could get through there all right. Now we're coming to the hallway, Robinson.
Yes, sir.
Suppose you describe it before we walk down to the office.
Well, there's one big chair about halfway down, and then a little table with flowers, and next to that is another chair.
Before we go into the office, tell us what's in it, how it's furnished.
All you can remember.
Well, there's a big fireplace across from the door with a long picture over it, and the desk is right in front of the fireplace. And then the filing cabinet is over.
Well, this is it. Light switch right by the door there.
Okay, I'll switch it on.
Yes. Everything is the same. Just like it was that night.
Allowing for a little dust.
There's the desk over on the right, facing this way. Inkwell, blotter, the ashtray, just like I said.
Uh-huh.
And those are the files over there, on the left.
Better take a look at that cabinet, Bill.
Sure.
See if there are any scratches, chisel marks.
Yeah, that's right. Here they are. Just like he said.
Well, I guess that settles it.
You believe me that I did it?
I don't see how you could tell us these things unless you'd been here that night.
Oh, I'm so glad, Mr. Woolworth. I'm so relieved. I was afraid.
Wonder if this phone's still connected.
Probably is. Going to call the governor?
Yep. I'm satisfied, Bill. There's nothing else we can do.
10 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, hello? Operator? This is Woolridge, district attorney. I want you to get me the governor at his home upstate. I'll hold the phone, but hurry.
Gosh, I'm glad this is over.
Are you?
My conscience. Oh, you have no idea what I've been through today. Oh, it was awful, Mr. Powell.
And now you feel better?
Oh, yes.
Hello? This is Woolridge. I must talk to the governor. Well, find him as soon as possible. It's very important. Tell him to phone me at the old Harrington place. That's right. I'll be waiting here.
Have to wait, huh?
Yeah, he's having a birthday party, and his secretary didn't know whether he should be disturbed.
But it isn't too late. They'll find him?
Oh, sure. We'll just have to wait here until he calls me.
Oh.
You know, I've been thinking, D.A.
Huh?
This Louis Marion, what about his story? I mean, how'd you feel about him all along?
Why, just like everyone else. Louis Marion was guilty. I'd never been as certain of anything.
He was guilty by every law I know. It was almost perfect.
Yeah.
There's a cop ducks in a doorway down the street when it starts to rain. Sees Louis Marion come out of this house and get into his gray coupe.
And then we found the gun on Louis. The ballistics checked exactly with the bullet we picked out of Harrington.
And we know Louis wanted to cut in on Harrington's loan racket. Harrington wouldn't come across.
It all added up. Then.
Gentlemen, I had motives. I wanted to kill him.
Yeah. Well, this new evidence cleans up the case. Throws it up, straightens out all the angles, ends it. Doesn't it, Powell?
Well, there's something about all this. I don't know.
What do you mean?
I'm doing special work on the homicide squad. You get funny feelings about things, people. You know that, D.A.? Your office works the same as ours.
Yeah.
We call it intuition. Once in a while, you get a feeling that someone's dead guilty. And the first time I heard Louis Marion's story, I said, that's the guy. I just knew it, understand? He checked all the way down the line.
Well, I guess we're entitled to be wrong sometime.
Yes, but... Robinson?
Yes, sir?
Get up. Go over to the door. See, we ain't here. You're alone, like you were that night, understand?
Yes,
You do everything you did that night again. Now.
You can't reconstruct the crime that's 6 months old, Bill.
Why not? The room ain't been touched.
Yes, but after all...
Say it's curiosity, dear. Say it's the feeling we both had about Louis Marion being guilty. Say it's that hunch I was just talking about. But let's give it a try.
Yeah, we've got time, I guess. But I wish that call from the governor would come through.
Okay, then. Now, Robinson?
Yes, sir.
Go on, with everything the same, understand? Just like it happened that night. Wait. I'll sit down in Harrington's chair. There. Now go ahead.
All right. I came in through the door here, and I...
What's the matter?
The light up there. It was off. And that little desk light was off, too, the one beside you there. I had a flashlight.
Oh. All right, I'll turn this desk light on so we can see. You switch off the ceiling light.
Yes, sir.
Certainly makes it gloomy in here with just one desk lamp on.
All right. Go ahead, Robinson.
Well, I had my flashlight on when I came through the door. It was very dark. I went across the rug, like this, directly to these files.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I knew the papers I wanted were in this drawer.
That's the second one from the top.
Yes, sir. I had to cross down a little, like this, to use the chisel on the lock, pry it open.
Mm-hmm. Now, from where you are now, you can see me here at the desk. Is that right?
Well, yes, sir, but that night, the light was off.
I know. How long do you think it took to get the drawer loose?
Well, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 minutes.
All right. Okay, you got it open. Now it takes a minute or so to look through it.
That's right. And while I was bent over like this, looking through the file, the lights came on all at once. I swung around like this and saw him sitting there where you are now, waiting for me, pointing his gun at me.
And then?
Well, I fired at him before I even stopped to think. It was all so sudden. He had a gun in his hand, and I figured it was either him or me.
You shot just once, Robinson?
Yes, Mr. Woolridge. And then Harrington pitched over onto the desk with his face down against the blotter. I can see it all now. Just the way the room looked. Just the way he looked.
Tell us everything. Be sure.
Well, lights were all on. And there was some smoke coming up from my gun. I was afraid then, and I started for the door. I remember I could see the reflection of the light on the gun in his hand.
The hand that held the gun was laying on top of the desk?
That's right.
That reflection, that'd be the light from this desk lamp here.
Well, no. All the lights were on. It was a reflection from the big ceiling light up there.
Wait a minute.
What's the matter, Bill?
You say the light on the gun barrel was from the ceiling light?
Yes, sir. The gun was in his right hand, extended across the far end of the desk, out of the range of the cone of light from the desk lamp.
That's right. I remember that myself. But the ceiling light couldn't have been on.
Huh? But it was. It reflected off his gun. And the whole room was light. I'm certain, Mr. Powell.
Something wrong here.
What?
Well, don't you see? Anybody sitting at this desk could only turn on the desk lamp, this little one. The ceiling light up there can only be turned on from the wall switch over there next to the door. Look, I'll go over and turn on the ceiling light.
That's how they were. I remember the room was very light, and there was a reflection from his gun.
But wait a minute, Bill. The lights couldn't have been like this. Harrington would have had to cross the room to turn on the big light, and he was at his desk.
That's right, Mr. Woolrich.
That's the point, D.A. That's a new slant on this case.
How do you mean?
That's something I didn't know before.
Well, what's the difference? Say, what are you trying to do? This man Robinson's confessed. Maybe he just forgot about the light.
No, I didn't forget.
Chances are they can't find the governor and it's getting late. I'm going to call the prison. Maybe I can talk the warden into staying at execution. We're just wasting time.
Listen, D.A. Don't call the warden.
Huh?
Not 11 yet. Give me a few minutes, D.A.
Well,
remember the cop story? The one that saw Louis Marion leave here and get into his coupe?
Yes.
That cop said it was just beginning to rain. Remember? He'd stepped into a doorway, probably hoping it wouldn't keep up.
Well, what about it?
Robinson here said he got off the bus when the storm was at its worst. That puts him here after Louis Marion. See?
Oh, yes.
Robinson said it was a bad thunderstorm. Didn't you?
Yes, I did. It was raining hard and the street lights were off.
That's it, street lights. They were off.
Huh?
Say, what are you...
Isn't it obvious why?
Why?
The line must have been knocked down somewhere by the storm. That's why the house was dark when Robinson came. And that's why the lights came on all at once while Harrington was sitting at his desk.
But gentlemen,
Harrington never touched a switch in this room, D.A. He couldn't get back here to the desk before Robinson turned around. Those lights, all of them, came on naturally when the current was restored.
Why, that's ridiculous, Bill. That You have John Harrington sitting here in the dark, watching a man, Jimmy, open his files and take out papers. You have him sitting here 10 or 15 minutes with a gun in his hand, watching all that and not saying a word? It's impossible.
No, it's not impossible, D.A. Because Harrington was already dead.
What?
Here's the way I figure. Harrington was dead, all right. Because Louis Marion killed him before the storm began. Before Harrington had a chance to use that gun he pulled. And then Louis left him here, in that chair.
Yes,
then the lights go off. And along comes Robinson in the dark.
But I don't see...
When the lights suddenly go back on, Robinson sees Harrington and his gun. He's in a panic and he fires before he gets a good look at Harrington. Then Robinson runs out of here without even touching the body. Harrington was dead, all right. Only he was dead before Robinson fired at him. He had to be.
Why? Why did he have to be?
Because a living man would have said something. A guy like Harrington would have plugged you in the back without taking a chance. Robinson, down there by the cabinet, was a perfect setup.
Yeah?
The lights were the thing that fooled Robinson. Just like they fooled us.
Gentlemen, I don't know...
Yeah,
what this...
but look here,
but
Bill.
There's still something missing. And if we can find it, that'll prove whether I'm right or wrong.
What's that?
Robinson?
Yes, Mr. Powell?
You said Harrington was slumped against the side of his chair. And after you fired, he fell forward across the desk. Right?
Yes. Yes, sir. I know I killed him.
There was only one bullet hole in Harrington's body. Remember?
Of course.
So if Robinson here fired at Harrington, he missed.
Maybe.
You got a knife, Robinson?
Hmm?
With a good-sized blade?
Yes, sir. Yes, but I...
Let me use it.
What are you going to do, Bill?
Have a better look at this upholstered desk chair. Now, if Harrington was kind of slumped to the right in this chair, like Robinson says, bullets might have missed Harrington. Look here, D.A.
Huh?
A tiny hole, almost invisible in the design.
Huh? Where?
Here, high up on the left. Let me have that knife.
Is there anything?
A lot of cotton padding.
Yeah. This is all very confusing. I don't know what happened in here that night, but I do know that I killed him. I know I killed him.
Here it is.
The slug?
Yeah. Embedded in part of this wooden framework. Take a look at it, D.A.
Robinson, what was the size of your gun?
Why, it's a 38, like I said. It's home now. The paper said a 45 kill, Harrington, but I thought it was a mistake or a trick.
Oh?
I thought maybe they suspected somebody and put that in as a trap. I never thought it meant that I didn't kill him.
A 45 did kill Harrington. And this slug here is a 38. It never touched him, Robinson.
That's right. That 38 missed him completely. You see, Harrington was sort of slumped over to one side of this chair. And it's a swivel chair.
Yes.
So this slug from Robinson's gun just knocked the chair back with enough force to jerk it forward. Harrington's own dead weight toppled him across this desk. That's how it happened.
You mean I didn't kill him? That I didn't?
You couldn't have killed him. And this slug is all the evidence we need, Mr. Robinson, to prove you didn't.
But I came in and shot him.
All you did that night was to shoot at a man already dead. That isn't murder. The only thing we've got against you is unlawful entry with a weapon.
Well, I don't know, D.A.
Huh?
You may be figuring mugs like this Harrington a human. I never did myself. If I were you, I'd kind of remember this Robinson's got a wife and two kids. And he needs his job.
Well, gentlemen,
if I was a betting man, D.A., I'd lay 5-1 he's on the straight road from here on out. How about that, Robinson?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. I don't know what to say. Thank you.
You could be right, Bill. Besides, what on earth could we charge him with? You can't attempt murder on a dead man, can you?
Not hardly.
Looks to me like we'll just have to forget this ever happened. Let Robinson and his conscience go home and have a nice little...
I'll bet that's the governor. Called away from his party.
Now, I'll explain this. Hello, governor? Sorry to bother you, governor. Just wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
I've heard Thomas Walsh's story, Light in Darkness, which was adapted by Thomas Goutet, formerly of NBC Chicago staff, who is now stationed in England, where he's a first lieutenant in the United States Army Signal Corps. Lieutenant Goutet has been decorated 4 times, having received the Order of the Purple Heart and the RAF Air Force Cross. Direction was by Frank Papp. McBride, Sidney Elstrom, and Charles Flynn were heard as the district attorney, Walter Robinson, and Bill Powell. The musical score was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shields. Next week, same time, same station, Authors Playhouse will bring you Richard Ely Danielson's tender story of the Civil War reminiscences of Corporal Hardy. Author's Playhouse, announced by Don Gordon, has come to you from Chicago. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I'll be back next Tuesday with another 60 minutes of radio drama. Between now and then, there's more old-time radio at relicradio.com. Past episodes of this show, links to the Shoutcast stream and our donate button, and everything else Relic Radio. Thanks to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. Talk again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.